Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed Vav. We're already a little bit more than a third of the way down by the two dots. That's about 10 lines into the wider lines of the Gemara. And we begin with Machasin Esaperos. We quote the Mishnah where it says that you're allowed to go and cover up the peros that are on the roof because of the impending rain. The rain would destroy these drying fruits, and therefore you want to protect them from getting wet. So the Mishnah said you're allowed to go and do this. Amar Ula. So we have a machlokas over here between Ula and Rav Yitzchak. Ula tells us, Amar Ula Vafilu Avera de Livni. That's the gear that we have. Others have Ara de Livni. That we're dealing over here with bricks. Now, bricks are an inanimate object. They are normally muktza. And nevertheless, Ula says you're allowed to go cover up these bricks, which could also get ruined in the rain. Rashi explains that these are bricks, levenim, hasdurim. They're arranged bricks, umuktzim, levenim. They're muktza. And now the rain's going to come, ugishamim, notvim. The grains are going to come, umisyari, shalom, yimochu. And he's afraid that they're going to get dissolved or disintegrated by the rain. And therefore, the Mishnah said, muta letaltel kelim letzarchen. You're allowed to go and move kelim for their benefit, lechasosim, and therefore to cover them up. Velo amrin and hol, vehein atzman eni tolin, apakli lo yinotel letzarchen. Now here you might have thought that since these bricks aren't allowed to be moved, you can't even cover them up. So Ula comes to teach us that even Avira the Livni are allowed to be covered up, even though they themselves are muktzah and can't be moved, but you're allowed to cover them up. As opposed to Rav Yitzchak Omar, no. Peros haru'uyin, something that is able to be moved itself, i.e. non-muktzah fruit, you can go cover them up. And the Ozla Yurtzah L'taymei, the Omar Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak goes according to what he said elsewhere, that he said, ain kli nital, you're only allowed to lift up a kli or move a kli, el ledover hanital b'shabbos. You can only move one kli when you're moving it for the purposes of another kli, if it's litzorech, dover hanital, Rashi says. So it has to be for something that it in and of itself could be moved on Shabbos. So we have a fundamental difference between Ula and Rav Yitzchak. Ula says, no, even if something is muktzah and can't be moved, you can still cover it up. And Rav Yitzchak says, no, only something which can be moved, i.e. something that's not muktzah, that you're allowed to go cover up. Now we're going to spend a little bit of time trying to prove Ula right or Rav Yitzchak right. So the Gemara starts off by quoting our Mishnah, Tanan. Our Mishnah said, "Bechasim asa peros bekelim." Our Mishnah said, "You're only allowed to cover up fruits with some sort of a utensil, a cloth, or a sadin, some sort of a sheet, or some sort of utensil." So our Mishnah said, "Peros in avira delivered low." Seems to be a kasha against Ula. Our Mishnah specifically mentioned peros, which are not muktza. So the Gemara says, "No, huaden deafilu avira delivni." In fact, our Mishnah would not necessarily reject the idea that it could be talking about avera de livni. But I did the Tana Resha Mishilim Peros, since our Mishnah started off talking about fruit, so Tana Sefer Nami Mechasen Asa Peros, but Lav Davka. The Resha and Sefer, just for parallelism, using the same idea, fruit, but the din would be even for something that was muktza, like Ula said. So you can't bring me a riot for the Mishnah against Ula. Try again. Where it says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, V'chein kadei yayin, V'chein kadei shemen. We said that you're allowed to go and cover up the barrels or jugs of wine or the jugs of oil so that the rain doesn't go inside of them. Now, again, we're dealing over here with something that is not muktza. So the Mishnah specifically only mentioned things that are not muktza. Implication being, something is muktza, you aren't allowed to cover it up. Like Rabbi Yitzchak said, Kasha nula. Where it says, no, again, we're talking here about a muktza, kadayayin and kadishamin, because there's tevel inside. They are not able to be drunk or used because they're tevel. And tevel on Shabbos, and alibi mafresh trumus and maishos, so therefore, it is muktza. So when we're dealing over here with the kadayayin and kadishamin, we are dealing with something that's muktza, and yet you're allowed to cover it up. Oh, this is a raya to Ula, not a kasha on Ula. And the Gemara says, I'll show you that this svar is correct. It makes sense to say that these kadiyayin and kadishemen are actually tevel. Why? Because these sokodaitoch kadiyayin kadishemen deheteiro, if you're going to tell me that this is actually not tevel and that it's perfectly heter to go and take the kadiyayin and kadishemen, so then, hotono le reisha peros. So why would you need to tell me a similar din that you already taught me? The Mishnah said, Mechasin is a peros, and now you're telling me, Mechasin is a yayin v'ashemen. What difference is there between peros that aren't muktzah and yayin and shemen that aren't muktzah? Why would I need to have both of them listed in the Mishnah? Oh, the chiddush is that the first one is talking about peros that aren't muktzah, and then it's talking about peros that are muktzah, i.e. the yayin, the kadiyayin, the kadishemen, because they're tevel. And this is a raya, therefore, to Ula and not a kashan Ula. Where it says, not so fast, we're not talking about tevel, but it needed to tell me the din of regular wine and regular shemen that's not tevel, chulin wine, chulin shemen. Kadi yayin, kadi shemen, it's trichle. There is a chiddush over here. Don't tell me, well, you already mentioned peros, so then what's the chiddush in yayin and shemen? No. I would have said, so kudai dechaminach, lehevsin merubu choshu. In regards to fruits, where there's going to be a total destruction of the fruit if they get wet, they're totally ruined, they're going to be marikiv rashes, they're going to rot. So then in that situation, I need the mission to tell me, to prevent the large financial loss, you'll have to go and lower them down the skylight. However, if it's only a small hefsid, lehefsid mua, if you're dealing over here with a little water in the wine, so the wine's a little bit diluted. They diluted their wines anyway. What's the big deal? You have a little water in an oil container, the water's going to float on the top. So therefore, you can just pour it off. You're not really ruining the wine, you're not really ruining the oil. So it's only a hefsid mu'at. So I might have thought lehefsid mu'at lo chashashu, in fact, that we're not concerned about a hefsid mu'at, and that you would not be allowed to go cover up the kadi yayin kadi shemen. Oh, kamash v'lan, that you are allowed to cover up the kadi yayin kadi shemen, even if it's only a hefsid mu'at, a small amount. But you can't tell me anything that it's a raya to ula, that you're allowed to go cover up muksa things, because these aren't muksa. Kadi yayin kadi shemen are chulin, and therefore they're not muksa, it's not a raya to ula. Try again, Tanan. Again, we learned in our Mishnah. Noslin kli tachas adelep b'shabbos. We said that you're allowed to go put a utensil to go and catch the dirty water. The delep is the dirty water coming off the gutters, and you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Now, dirty water is useless, and therefore, dirty water is muktzah. Oh, you see that you're allowed to cover it up, you're allowed to put a kli tachas adelep, you're allowed to use it, and therefore, ula is correct. It's allowed to be covered up, allowed to be saved, even though it's muktzah, kashan Rav Yitzchak, and where it says, no, we're not dealing over here with something that's muktzah. Bidelev haroi, we're dealing over here with water that is potable. Not for human beings, maybe, but for animals. As Rashi says, saying slulin, they're clear waters, ru'uyin lebehema. An animal would drink such water, and therefore it's not muktzah, and therefore we have no raya to ula, we have no raya to Rav Yitzchak. The three attempts at our Mishnah did not succeed in proving ula or Rav Yitzchak right or wrong. Try again, though. Toshma, we learned in the Braisa, parsin machatzeles, you're allowed to go and spread out a machatzeles is a mat. We just had sukkahs, so we're dealing over here with mats on top of the sukkah. So you're allowed to go and spread out a mat al gabi levenim on top of bricks on Shabbos, b'Shabbos. Now, bricks are muktzah. So therefore, you see clearly like ula, you're allowed to go cover up the bricks so they don't get wet. You're allowed to cover them up, even though they themselves can't be moved, but you're allowed to cover them up exactly like ula said, kashan Rav Yitzchak. So again, the Gemara says that's not a riot, one way or the other. The Atur mi binyono. We're dealing over here where they were left over from construction. The building was finished, and they have a whole bunch of 2x4s. They have a whole bunch of bricks over here that are left over from the construction. So what do you do with such bricks? The Chose lemizga alayu. We had this previously. You can use these bricks to sit on. So therefore, they're not muksa, and therefore there's no riot that you can cover them up to ula, because they are not muksa, and therefore no raya from this brisa to ula. Try again. Toshma, another brisa. The brisa is parsim machatzelis. Again, you'll have to spread out these mats. Agabi avonim b'shabbos, on top of stones on Shabbos. Now, stones are muktzah. Yet, you see, you'll have to spread out the machatzelis on top of them so they don't get ruined by the rain. Ah, a raya to ula, that you're allowed to go and cover something up, even though it's muktzah. So Gemara says again, no raya, because we're dealing over here not with regular stones, but avonim murkozolos. We're dealing over here with toilet paper. In those days, and when we say this, it's could I just say it again, when you don't know what to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, and you say Sha'asali Kol Tzarki every morning, so thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the hygiene that we're zochet to have, as opposed to the hygiene that they lived with in those days. We have 20 different types of toilet paper with different levels of softness to them, right? They had rocks. That's how they cleaned themselves after they defecated. So you're dealing over here with these avonim mikorzolos, these specific put-aside rocks to clean yourself with, to wipe yourself with, the chazil lebesakise they used to use in the bathroom, and therefore they're not muktza. And that's why you're allowed to cover them up. But if they were muktza, you wouldn't be allowed to cover them up. No raya to ula. Try again. Toshma, another brisa. Parsin machatzelis, you'll have to go spread out these mats, these sheets, agabe kaveres, devorim, b'Shabbos. Kaveres devorim is a beehive. So you'll have to go spread out the sheets on top of the beehive on Shabbos to protect it. Now, what are you protecting it from? So we tell us in the Braisa, bechama, which on first blush means in the summertime. We'll see a different opinion that says that's not what it means. But right now we're saying bechama in the summertime, nechama, because of the heat, because of the sun. The bees are all going to die from the heat, so you could put up a blanket on top of it to cool it off. So in the summertime, you'll have to go and spread it out to protect the beehive from the sun. Ubigashamim, which right now we're going to understand means during the rainy season, during the winter time, because of the rains and the cold. So that's why you'll have to go and cover this up. However, it says, Ubuvach lo yiskabin lotsut. But when you're putting this cover, this mat on top of the beehive, you're going to be trapping the bees, and you're not allowed to trap the bees. So it tells us in this brisa, as long as you have no intention, you're not machadein, you're not intending to be miskadein lotsut, to trap the bees, so then you're allowed to do this. Now, what do you see from here? This is a beehive, which we're assuming the stam position is that this beehive is, in fact, going to be muktza. Rashi says it's for the bees, and therefore it's not for you. And therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to cover it up if you're not allowed to cover up something that's muktza. Oh, you see from here, you're allowed to cover up something that's muktza, exactly like Ula. So we have a raya to Ula and a kasha to Rav Yitzchak. Mar says, again, not so fast. You know why this beehive is not muktza? It wasn't for the dvorim, as Rashi said, but there's honey in here. And therefore, it's not muktza because you want the honey. And therefore, you're allowed to go, according to many poskim, take out the honey from the beehive. It's not considered a issa deraisa to do so. Maybe an issa derabanan, it's not an issa deraisa. And therefore, since there's honey in there, and you want to go take the honey out, so it's not a muktza beehive. Whereas if that's really true, then you got another problem. Amrele Rav Ukva, mi meishon l'Rav Ashi. Rav Ukva came from the town of Meishon, said to Rav Ashi, that works out great. Hotenach bimo sachama. That works out great for the summertime when the beehives have honey in them, the kudvash. But how are you going to answer bimo sagisham? And we said, in the summer, you can go cover it up because of the sun. And in the winter, the rainy season, you can cover up because of the rain. But in the winter, it's muktzah because there's no honey inside. You mostly show me Michael and Mamre, there's no honey inside. So why would you allow to cover it up? It must be that Ula's right. Ah, here's a raya to Ula. Shmuel says, no. Again, not necessarily so. Even in the winter, there are always two honeycombs that you leave inside the beehive so that the bees that are living there through the winter have sustenance. But this person said, I don't really care for all the bees, though. I don't care about this beehive. I want to have the honey. So he even has intention for the last two honeycombs, and they're going to be present even in the wintertime. Where it says, Osun Shtechalos, looks the same, but those are normally set aside for the bees. The bees use them to survive the winter. So where it says, no. No, he says, I don't really care about the bees, as I just pointed out. And therefore, in this situation, he was mechashev them. He was thinking about them. He had kavan on them, and therefore they're not muktzah, and therefore there's no raya to Ula. Moore says that implies avol lo chishev aleihem mai. If you didn't think about them, in other words, you weren't mechavein that they shouldn't be muktza, so they would be muktza, and therefore would be aser. So what do you see? You could have said over here, when is the beehive permissible? When you have intention for the last two honeycombs. But if you don't have intention for the last two honeycombs, then you're not allowed to cover it up. So why didn't you say that? Instead, you gave me a separate reason coming out of left field that, oh, make sure you don't trap them. If you wanted to show a distinction, sometimes yes, sometimes no, liflog v'lisne bidida. You should have drawn the actual machlokes within itself by saying, by medvamimum, under which circumstances do we say that you're allowed to cover it up, shechishavalem, if you had intention to use those last two honeycombs. So then they're not muktzah, you're allowed to cover it up. Avalochishavaleim, but if you didn't have intention to use them, so then they're muktzah, and also you would be allowed to cover it up. Now, it didn't say this. So from the fact that it didn't say this, we'll go back to our original understanding that this is a raya to Ula, because if it wanted to say that it's not a raya to Ula, you should have made the distinction within the honeycomb that you were mechin versus the two chalos that you were not mechin. So if you're mechin the two chalos, so then you can cover it up, because it's not muktzah. If you weren't mechin the two chalos, you can't cover it up. And therefore, it's a kasha on Ula. Shmuel says, no, hochi komar. This is what the Bryce is telling us. This is how Ula would understand it. Even though you had intention, and that's why you'll have to cover it up, you still have to be very careful. You have to be careful not to trap the bees inside. Even though it has nothing to do anymore with muktzah, but here you have to do with the din of tzad, of trapping. Shmuel says, wait a second. You seem to be saying over here that if you have intention to trap, it's a problem, but as long as you don't have intention to trap, it's a davar she'eino miskavein, it's mutter, that's no longer Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Shimon. And now we seem to be having muktzah and a davar she'eino miskavein. We're discussing the same brisa. Half of it's like Rabbi Yehuda, half it's like Rabbi Shimon. That's a problem. Now let's see the Gemara say this inside. But Mayu Kimta, how do we now understand this brisa? We're saying that we are dealing over here with you mechashev the two chalos, the last two honeycombs, because otherwise it would be muktzah and you wouldn't be allowed to cover it up. Gemara says, Ki Rabbi Yehuda, Desle Mukta. So we're establishing this Braisa in accord with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that there is Mukta. But wait a second, look at the next line. Hey, Maseifo, Bavachal Yiskabin Lotsut. The next line said, you're not allowed to cover it up if you intend to trap it. But as long as you don't intend to trap it, you're okay. Whose sheet is that? A Dover Shein Miskavin is Mutter. Also, Rabbi Shimon, the Omer Dover Shein Miskavin is Mutter. So the Reish is Rabbi Yehuda, the Seif is Rabbi Shimon. Without mentioning it, that doesn't make any sense. Shmuel says, and what? You think it's okay? Your question is fine. You think the Seif is really Rabbi Shimon? The Tisbra, that the Seif is Rabbi Shimon? That's not true. Because we have the famous rule throughout Shas, so we have this throughout Shas, that when does Rabbi Shimon say the Dovr Shein Miskavin is Mutter? It's only if it's not a Psik Reisha. Psik Reisha literally is, if you cut off the head of this little chicken to go let your kids play with the head of a chicken. That was the toys that they used to have in those days. So if you cut off the head of the chicken won't die. Psik Reisha v'lo Yomus. If you cut off the head of the chicken, of course it's going to die. So therefore, even Rabbi Shimon holds that while he says normally a Dovr Shein Miskavin is Mutter, if it's a Psik Reisha that is going to happen, you can't say it's a Dovr Shein Miskavin. It's definitely going to happen. And therefore, it's not allowed, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Sefer doesn't go like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. Doesn't go like anybody. So Shmuel says, no, you're right, it's not Rabbi Shimon. And that would have been a problem because they didn't have half like Rabbi Yehuda, half like Rabbi Shimon. But in fact, the whole thing is like Rabbi Yehuda. Lo'olam kula Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? Because v'holchem la'yaskin, you know what we're dealing with over here? The isbe kave, Rashi says kave, are chalonos, windows. Yesh bedaf nosel, on the side of the beehive, there are little holes, there are little windows. And Rashi continues, and he says, v'apopi shemachas espiyot, even though you're covering up the top of the beehive, eino nitzad, and the bees aren't trapped. Why? Unless you cover up the windows too, because they maybe not be able to go out the front door, but they go out the windows. In lo yichas agamas chalonos, then you're not trapping the bees. Don't read it as long as you don't have intention, that you don't cover up over here the windows, make it into a trap. That's what it means over here. So in fact, let's read it again now inside. The whole Braisa is talking in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that number one, there's Muktzah, and number two, a Dover Sheino Miskaven is in fact Chayav. So we're dealing here, Baruch Mayaskin and the Isbe Kabe. There are windows below Tamil of Yehuda, and don't read it as Wavachal Yiskabin Latsud. No, if you're not Miskabin Latsud, but you're Latsud, then you are Chayev. So we turn to Lamed Vav on the base. What are we dealing with? Ela Ema say, Ubavad Shlo Yasena Matsuda. You have to be very careful that you don't make it into a trap when you're covering it up that's a full trap. In other words, don't block the windows. If you don't block the windows, so then you're not Tzud, and therefore it's only a question of Muktzah. Where it says, that's very, very obvious, pshita. How can you say that this is a chiddush? Why would you have to tell it to us? So where it says, no, it's a big chiddush. Ma'al de tema, I would have said on my own that bees, guess what, aren't included in the prohibition of tzod. Because I would have said, ma'al de tema bimino nitzod asur, shalo bimino nitzod is mutter. I would have said, as Rashi brings down over here, that if you normally trap that type of a birya, such as a chaya or an ov, so then it's forbidden to go and trap it on Shabbos, asur. However, if it's something that you don't normally trap, who traps bees? So therefore, if you don't normally trap it, I might have thought that it's mutter to trap it. So the chiddush over here was, don't go trap bees on Shabbos, even though they're not normally something that it's trapped. If you're trapping it and you do it in a way that you cover up the windows, then you would be chayav for trapping. So this concludes the first way that we understand this braisa. Rav Ashi has a very simple way to understand it. Rav Ashi Amar, you don't have to go all through these, jumping through all these hoops. When it said before in the braisa that you're allowed to cover up the beehive, Bechama, bifnei achama, begeshamim, mipnei geshamim. Don't read it that way. That's the wrong way to read it. Don't read it in the summer, you can cover it up because of the heat, and in the winter, you can cover it up because of the rain. No. It means bechama, mipnei achama, or begeshamim, mipnei geshamim, ketani. It didn't say during the summer, during the winter. It said bechama, in the sun, you can cover it up from the sun. In the rain, you can cover it up from the rain. What does that mean? It's not talking about summer and winter. It's talking about the spring or the fall. Biyomi Nisan or Biyomi Tishrei, when the Ika Chaba, the Ika Gesham, sometimes it's sunny, sometimes it's rainy. So you're allowed to cover it up then. But you don't have any muksa problem because there's definitely honey there besides the two chalos. So you don't have to go through all the hoops that we jump through to say how the two chalos would not be muksa in the wintertime. We're not talking about the wintertime. We're talking about the spring or the fall. And therefore, v'ika devash, there's plenty of honey there. And therefore, it's not a question of muksa. You're covering it up. It's not muksa. And we have no raya one way or the other to Ula or to Rabbi Yitzchak. Nadigmar continues and quotes our Mishnah. It says, "V'nosin kli tachas adelef b'Shabbos." You'll have to go put a utensil to collect the dirty rainwater on Shabbos. Tana, we learned in another brisa, "Im nismalia kli," if the kli fills up, shofech, you'll have to go and pour it out, b'shona, and bring it back to put it underneath the dripping water. V'nonimna, and you can do this all day long. You don't have to stop. So therefore, even though you have a filled kli, you'll have to go dump it someplace where it's okay to dump it, and then bring back to fill up the kli again with this dlaf, with this dirty water. Okay. Gemara says, Bei rechaya da Abaye dolof. Abaye had a rechaya, a millstone. Now, the millstone, Rashi says, was made out of cement. And had the lev haya no fell al harechayim shalo, the rain was pouring down on his rechayim, while you asuyin betit. They were made out of cement, the nimochim ibn agusham, and they were starting to disintegrate because of the rain. Now, in the previous case, we said, oh, so put a bucket there and collect the rainwater. Well, I guess the roof was leaking so bad over here, the rain was pouring in. There weren't enough buckets to go and collect all the rainwater, and it was destroying his rechaya. The cement was being disintegrated by the rain. So that's Beirichaya Dabai. That's the millstone of Abaye. Dolph was getting destroyed by the rainwater. So he asked his Rebbe, what do I do? Also, coming to Rab, he went to Rab and said, Rebbe, I'm suffering a huge financial loss over here. What can I do? So I'm like, so Rab gave him an Eitzah Haguna, a very good Eitzah. Zeal, go, Aile Lepur Yoch, go and take your bed, Lahosam, next to the millstone. What's going to be? The millstone is starting to smell because it's starting to rot. The lehave kigrav shari. It's now going to be like a container filled with excrement. The afke, that you're allowed to move. A grav shari is allowed to be moved. It's muhtza machmas mius. It's disgusting and it's bothering you. So if you're putting your bed there, so now you have a right to go and move the millstone, and this way it won't get destroyed by the rain. Now, that was the suggestion that Rabbi gave to Abaye. Abaye did not jump on this suggestion. He started to question this heter. Yosef Abaye, he sat down and he thought the Indian through, and he came up with the following kasha. Are you allowed to intentionally make a grav shori? Right now, I'm not sleeping there. So the fact that this stinks, that it smells, because it's starting to disintegrate, that doesn't impact me. I'm not there. Am I allowed to move my bed over there, Abaye asked? And therefore now it becomes a grav shari'i? Are you allowed to make a grav shari'i l'chatchila? Mora says, while he was debating in his mind what to do, adohochi nofa b'rechaya d'abaye. So there was so much rain that came in that while he's contemplating, should I do this or should I not, he was thinking back and forth. In the meanwhile, his rechaya was destroyed. Abaye says, woe to me, oi, Omar, he said, Taisi li, it's unfortunately very appropriate that this should happen to me because the Avrei Ademar, because I went against the master, I went against my Rebbe. My Rebbe said I could go do this, and I was back and forth, and meanwhile, because I didn't listen to my Rebbe, so therefore my financial loss occurred. Rashi says, Tavaoni Zos, I deserve this destruction. Bishari, it's my appropriate reward. Shavarti al divrei Rebbe, that I didn't listen to my Rebbe. Tosa has a slightly different kinach over here. Tosa says, Avogav derin el perik yontiv, even though we learned earlier in the Masechta, the ain osim grav shel re'i l'chadchila. He was 100% right. Abaye says, I'm taka right. We learned earlier in the Masechta, dav chavalev, that you're not allowed to go intentionally make a grav shel re'i. Nevertheless, why did Rabbah say this was allowed? Sirle l'rabba, the ho chashari. Here it was allowed, mishum pseido d'berichai, because of a significant financial loss. So in general, you're not allowed to make a grav shel re'i, except as a financial loss, then you're allowed to. That's teretz number one, Tosus gives. Alternatively, imishum delo mikro lichatchila kol kach, because it's not called lichatchila. You're not making a grav shel re'i lichatchila. Why? Because it was already raining. Kim shayu agisham and kfar mitzalfim b'bayis. It was already raining on these millstones. And ain't kol kach lichatchila. This is not called making a grav shel re'i lichatchila. The grav shel re'i is already being made. And therefore, this isn't a problem of creating a grav shel re'i lechatchila. Gemara continues and says, Amar Shmuel, grav shel re'i, this container that you fill up with re'i, with excrement, for all vichomei meraglayim, and a urinal that you obviously put urine into, so these types of disgusting vessels, mutalotzin liyashpa. You'll have to go and take their contents and dump them into the garbage dump, into the ashpa. And you'll have to bring it back because you still may need them. You need this container to defecate into or to urinate into. So therefore, even after you dumped out the contents, the excrement or the urine, so kishu machziro, when you bring it back, no simba mayim machziro, you'll have to go bring it back. Don't bring it back empty. Put in some water. This water would be theoretically not muktzah, and therefore that allows you to carry back without any problem this grav shori back from the ashpa. Now Rashi explains, the muktzah machmas miyusein, this kli is disgusting. And Rashi says the only reason you're allowed to take it out in the first place was because there was urine in there, there was excrement in there. And that, because of kavod, kavod abrios, you're allowed to go take it out. And therefore, you can't just bring it back, because now there's no purpose in necessarily bringing it back, except if you put in some water in it, so then the water is theoretically drinkable by an animal, so therefore, that's why you're allowed to bring it back, and then, of course, you can go fill it up again with the tzoa or with the urine. Okay, that's the din that Shmuel taught us. Morris says, based upon this din of Shmuel, sovereign mino, the base medrash, they said, based upon what Shmuel said, graf shori, only, the graf shori is only about to be taken out, because it's in the utensil. The tzoa is in this utensil. So the re'i is only allowed to be taken out agav mon, because it's in a graf shori in. The implication is, bifnei atzmo, however, lo. If you're going to go and just remove the actual excrement, it's to go pick up the waste that's over there. It wasn't put into this this chamber pot. It wasn't put into the urinal. So to remove the waste itself, that you're not allowed to touch. You're only allowed to touch it via the kli. Morris says that's not necessarily true. That's an incorrect assumption, because I'll show you that that's not true from the following brisa. Toshma, we learned the brisa. Tahu achbarta, there once was a mouse that they found, the ishtakach, Bei Isparmake, the Rav Ashi. Isparmake, Rashi says, is in the Besomim. They found it in his spice jugs of Rav Ashi. And what did Rav Ashi say? Get rid of that mouse. So he didn't say you have to pick up the spice jugs and throw the mouse out that way. He said, pick up the mouse. Amalahu Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi told his servant over there, Nokta Bitsutsisa, go and grab it, Nokta, take it, Bitsutsisa, Rashi says, Biznova, by its tail, Afkua, and get rid of it. In other words, you are allowed to touch the actual re'i itself, the actual disgusting item itself. And certainly, when it's in a kli, you're allowed to remove the graf shel re'i, because it's muktza machmas mius, it's disgusting. And therefore, if you need the place, it's disgusting you where it is, you're allowed to go and take it to the ashba to remove it from the house. That's the hetter for a person to take out the garbage in the house on Shabbos. If the garbage is bothering you, it's overfilling, and you're still going to need garbage for Shabbos, so you can take the garbage out and put it in the garbage pail by the side of the house. But if it's only partially filled or it's near the end of Shabbos, then you're not allowed to go take it out because it's not bothering you, it's not a graf shel re'i. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, kol shechayav elav mishum shavuos, anything which the rabbis prohibited you from doing on Shabbos or Yontif, we'll see. Or if the rabbis forbade you to do it mishum shavuos, even though it's something that you're allowed to do, but the rabbi said, don't do this. Or, mishum mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to do this thing. And yet the rabbi said, don't do this. So if they said, don't do this b'Shabbos, chayav and lo b'yontif, then you're also not allowed to do it on yontif. So we have three categories here. Something the rabbis outright prohibited because it's a lav, mishum shavuos, or they just said, don't do this, mishum mitzvah reshus. We'll see, it also has a shavuos attached to it. But right now we're focusing on the reshus part, that it's something that would normally be permissible. And even something that's a mitzvah to do, the rabbis have the right to say, shevi al tasi, don't do this. Now the Mishnah is going to give us examples of each of these categories. So we start off with the shvus. The following are all examples that the rabbis prohibited from doing this item because they introduced a rabbinical prohibition. For example, lo olim be'ilan, you're not allowed to go and climb up a tree. And we'll see in the Gemara, the answer is you're not allowed to do that. Mishum shvus, the rabbis instituted a decree over here, you may come to pull off a branch. Likewise, v'lo roch v'nal gabehema, you're not allowed to go ride in an animal. I think what I will say, because either you'll go outside the tchum, then it will reject that teretz, and will say, because you may come to pluck off a branch to go make the animal go faster, and that would be a problem of plucking off a branch. Likewise, v'lo shotin al p'nei hamayim, you're not allowed to go swimming. Why? Gemara will say, because you may come to build some sort of a flotation device. Likewise, we had this previously, v'lo metafchin, that means to clap with your hands, v'lo mesapkin, that means to clap your hands onto your thighs, v'lo meraktin, you're allowed to dance, and the Gemara will say, all of them, because they're musically oriented type of items that may come to have musical accompaniment. And then if the violin or the guitar that you're playing with a break, you come to fix it, you'll be misaking mana. So therefore, don't do any of these activities. We had a whole discussion a few days ago. We broke down Tosus over there that said that it may not be applicable already in the time of Tosus because nobody knows how to fix musical instruments. In any event, all of these things are also mishum shvus. These are rabbinical prohibitions that the rabbis introduced. Then the Mishnah gives us a second category, Ve'elu hei mishum rishus. These are things that the rabbis prohibited from doing, and they're perfectly acceptable to do them. These are rishus to do them. Now, the Gemara is going to eventually ask in tomorrow's Shia that it's also a shvus not to do these rishus. But we're focusing now on the rishus point of view. What are some of these permitted activities that became not permitted? So, lo donin, you're not allowed to go judge. And the reason for all of these, we'll see, is because you may come to write down the answers. You may come to write down the adjudication. So you're not allowed to judge. Lo makdishin, you're not allowed to be makadish, a woman. The first stage of marriage is called kiddushin. You're not allowed to do that. Lo cholzin, you're not allowed to do chalitza. If a woman is married and her husband dies and they didn't have children, so then she falls yibum or chalitza to her brother-in-law, her dead husband's brother. So we don't do chalitza, which means that she doesn't go and marry him, or lo miyabim, we don't do the actual marriage to him. All of these things we don't let you do on Shabbos Yontif. And they're all what we call rishus. The moral question, there is either a shtickle mitzvah involved over here. That's why they're called a rishus. They're not a full-fledged mitzvah. Ve'elei mishum mitzvah. The following are real mitzvahs that the rabbi said don't do them on Shabbos Yontif. For example, lo makdishin. You're not allowed to be making something into hektish. You can't go and give something to the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go and be makdish something. You're not allowed to go lo marichin. You're not allowed to go and say, for example, erikiolai. The value of this person, every person based upon gender and age, has a certain halachic value that's a monetary value, a Torah value, that says, if you take upon yourself this person's of a certain gender and a certain age, I owe X amount of dinarim to the Beis HaMikdash. So you can't do that either. You can't do the Makdishin or Marichin and Lo Machrimin. And likewise, you can't make a Cherim. A Cherim is either given to the Kohanim or it's either given to the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to make a Cherim that's a mitzvah to go and be Machrim something. You're not allowed to go do that. And likewise, Lo Magbin, Truma or Maisa. You're not allowed to go take off Trumas and Maisus. Now, Trumas and Maisus, you're not allowed to do because you're Masakin money. It's you're fixing something. It looks too much like fixing something. All the other things, the reason why you're not allowed to do this is because you may come to write something down. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, after went through these three sections, it tells us, Kol Elu B'Yomtiv Amru, all of these things were said on Yomtiv, you're not allowed to do them, and if you're not allowed to do them on Yomtiv, Kavachom, you're certainly not allowed to do them B'Shabbos, because if something's also on Yomtiv, it's certainly going to be also on Shabbos. The only difference between Shabbos and Yomtiv, we said this many times, here's the source for this famous statement, Ein ben Yomtiv l'Shabbos ela ochel nefesh bilvat. The only difference between Shabbos and Yomtiv in terms of what's permitted, what's not permitted, is that you're allowed to do ochel nefesh related items. To a certain extent, we've been learning throughout the Masechta some of the limitations, but for Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to cook on Yontif. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do other activities. You're not allowed to go dye on Yontif. You're not allowed to go dye something, or color a shirt on Shabbos. So there's no difference between Yontif and Shabbos. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, the first thing that we said you can't do, Mishum Shvus, was Lo Olim Be'ilon. You're not allowed to go climb up a tree. The reason is, Gemara says, Gzei Rishem Yitlosh, we're concerned that you may come to pull off one of the branches as you're climbing up the tree. Then the Mishnah said, Lo Roch V'Nagabim Hema, you're not allowed to ride an animal. So, as I mentioned, the Gemara first one suggests, Gzei, the reason why the rabbi said you can't do this, the Shvus was, Shema Yetzi Chutz L'Tchum, because you may go outside the Tchum. If you're riding on an animal, before you know it, you went the 2,000 Amah, and you're outside the Tchum. Gemara says, really? Then you could learn from our Mishnah, Shema Mino, Tchumen Doraisa. Now there is an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that does say that Tchumen Doraisa, but it's 24,000 Amah, first of all. It's a very large distance, and it's a minority opinion. Most of the Chachamim hold that there is no din of Tchum that's on the Doraisa level. So are you going to teach us from our Mishnah, Gzeira Shema Yetzi Chutz L'Tchum, that the Tchum is a din Doraisa, that the rabbis have to make a Gzeira or Shvus to protect it? Shmuel says, no, you're right. Ella, the real reason why you're not allowed to ride an animal is Alexera Shema Yachtok Zamora, because the animal is going slow, you're going to pull off a branch and give it a zetz, you're going to use it as a whip. But you forgot that it's Shabbos, and you're going to pull off the branch, and therefore that's why you're not allowed to go ride an animal on Shabbos. Then we quote the Mishnah, V'lo shotin apnei mayim. We said you can't go swimming on Shabbos or Yontif. The reason is, Gzeira, as I pointed out, The rabbis were concerned. Shemayase chavis shel shayotet. You may come to make some sort of a flotation device. Rashi explains that this chavis shel shayotet is a kli shel guma, some sort of a container. Shel organ also that you weave this reeds together. V'osin kamin chavis aruchas, like a long elongated barrel. Ulemeidim olashut, and you use it as a flotation device to help you go and swim. Tosfos is a light, slightly different. He says it's like an earthenware utensil that's sealed and it floats because of the air inside of it. And again, it's a flotation device. So that's why you now go swim, because you may come to go and make yourself a flotation device to help you swim. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says you're not allowed to do the lo metabchim, lo mesafkin, lo meraktin. You're not allowed to clap with both your hands or your hands on your thigh or to do dancing, because this is going to lead to having musical accompaniment there, and then the musical instruments are going to break, and the rabbis say the gezeira shema yisakin cliche. You may come to fix the musical instrument. That was the first grouping. That was mishum shvus. The second grouping, ve'elohe mishum rishus, the following things we said are rishus. There's something that's permitted. It's not a full-fledged mitzvah, as we'll see. Lo dani, not let it go judge. Ayigmar says, it's a mitzvah to do din Torah, or mitzvah ka'avid. He says, no. We're dealing over here. Lo tzricha de iko de odif mine. Now, we don't have Rashi's on this, but Tosos brings down Pirush HaKuntris, and he says the reason why this judge that you're doing is not considered a mitzvah is because there is a better judge, more qualified judge than you, and therefore, for you, it's not a mitzvah because he's more qualified than you. And Tosos points out, according to his understanding of Rashi, even if there is no more qualified judge, you're still not allowed to go judge. And then Tosfos says, no, not everybody agrees with that. There are those that say that if there is nobody more qualified than you, then you are allowed to judge. But we'll go learn simple. The way the Pirush HaKuntris that the Tosfos brings down is that you're not allowed to do judging because maybe there's somebody more qualified than you, and therefore, even if there isn't somebody more qualified than you, you're not allowed to go judge on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Okay. Then we said, below Mekachin, you're not allowed to be Mekadish a woman. The first stage of marriage, Kiddushin, Erisin, both the same thing. Kiddushin, Erisin, the same thing. Gemara says, what are you telling me that this is a rishus for a mitzvah ka'avid? You're doing a mitzvah, getting married to a woman is essential for a man to have children. So Gemara says, lo, again, in this situation, it's not a mitzvah. Lo tzricha, you don't have to have this case over here, because we turn to Lamed Zayin and Aleph. We're dealing with a person who's already fulfilled the mitzvah pruvu. De isle isha ubanim. As Rashi says, shnei zuchar v'bishama, he has two boys, according to Beis Shammai, to fulfill the mitzvah Puravu, or Zohar v'Nekeva, a boy and a girl, according to Beis Hillel, v'sulo mifkat kuli hai, and he doesn't have to have more children in that situation, albeit Rashi does point out that he's certainly doing a mitzvah, k'tzatz mitzvah ikah, says, baboker zara ezarecha, ula erev, al tanach yadecha. We just read this in Koheles. So a person has to go and have children even later in life, because you never know what's going to happen to your first children, so make sure you have more children. So therefore, it is a mitzvah, but it's since he already has a wife and children, so it's not as much of a mitzvah. That's why it's called a rishos. Then the Mishnah said, lo chotzim lo miyavin, yadav du chalitzo yibum, I again, v'ha mitzvah ka'avit, why can't you do this, you're doing a mitzvah? So the Gemara says, no, because there was an older brother, and lo tzricha, they were dealing over here, the Iko Godol or Mitzvah Begodol Yabim. So the din is that there's an older brother, so the oldest brother that's alive, he should be the one to do the Yibum. And if a younger brother does it, so then it's a mitzvah, but it's only like a little mitzvah because he's not the preferred person to do the Yibum. Then the Gemara says, why can't you do any of these things? V'chulu taimamai. What was the shvus that the rabbis instituted over here? So the Gemara says, gzeir Hashem yichtov. In all of these situations, you may come to write down, oh, on such and such a day he did the chalitza, such and such a day the yibum took effect, on such and such a day he was makadish this woman. So therefore, it could lead to writing, and that's why the rabbi said, don't do it. And finally, the third category in the mission, we said, ve'elu hein mishum mitzvah. The following are because of a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to go and be lo makdishim, lo marichim, lo machrimim. We said in the Mishnah, you can't do any of those things. Again, what's the reasoning over here? Gezeira mishum mekach u'memkar. Because again, you may come to write stuff down. If you're going to do a sale, you're going to end up writing stuff down. Mekach u'memkar is a concern. I donated this, I want to get change, I want a receipt. So therefore, it's going to lead to writing things down. Mekach u'memkar, and as Rashi points out, shemotzi mirushus l'rushus hakodesh u'mekach u'memcha osim min hamikra t'chsev b'mimso chavtzicha v'dabed dover. So this is a din from Navi, or alternately, inami mekach u'memcha osim dekasiva. As I pointed out, the second reason that it's going to lead you to write down a shtar or going to write down some other document, and therefore it is not allowed. Now, we're still in the middle of describing this last list of items in the Mishnah, but this is a good break point over here at these two dots. If we go down to the next two dots, it's a little bit too much, so we'll stop over here today. With this, we conclude today's shiur.